If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. It will be just a little bit after the book of Proverbs. You can find it there. People that meet me for the first time in this country frequently are curious as to why I am here. They hear my accent, they recognize that I'm either Canadian or American, and then they are baffled as to why I would want to live in Yorkshire. I don't understand that personally, I actually love the weather. And I respond with that. I eventually will tell them that we're here because of the gospel, that we're here to preach the word of God, but I absolutely love the weather here. Hot, sunny days are not my forte. Being a bald man who doesn't like heat, escaping from someplace like Kentucky is a wonderful thing. When I say that, they look at me as if there's something wrong, as if I have something wrong with my head besides having no hair. And I tell them that I enjoy the gray days, that I enjoy the cool days. And they say, oh, it'd be fantastic to have the sun and the heat all the time. And I say, well, you can go have it in Spain, go have it somewhere else, just don't bring it here. Well, the reason I bring this up is when I am speaking with them, I usually end up misquoting a verse from Ecclesiastes. It's Ecclesiastes 11:4. And there it says, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. And I say that to them because one of the wonderful things that my family and I have learned about the British and about life in general is that you cannot sit back and wait for a good day to do whatever it is you might want to do. If you're waiting for the perfect day, although we've had some for the past couple weeks, if you're waiting for the perfect day when you're in Yorkshire, you may be waiting a while. And so the British, they just get on with it for the most part. If you're going to go for a walk, it doesn't matter if it's raining, it doesn't matter if it's gray, you're just going to go out and go for a walk. And that's fantastic. That's really fantastic. And it goes to this verse, the idea that I'm going to make a plan and I'm going to stick to the plan regardless of the circumstances that come in. In the United States, they don't do that. The weather forecasters in the United States have it a little easier. They can be a little more accurate because they're not an island surrounded by such strong winds. And so they can forecast bad weather and everybody stays inside. That's unfortunate because sometimes you get the perfect day to go out and do something. We're looking at Ecclesiastes 11 and a number of other passages because of the same idea. What do we do about sowing and reaping with circumstances? What do we do in life when we see difficulties? Do we continue with the labor or do we give up because the signs don't look very good? As it says here, I'm going to read the first six verses of Ecclesiastes 11. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. So I think you may have gotten the impression from our children's talk and from this that we're focusing not so much on agriculture, because I'm not an agriculture expert, but on the harvest. And speaking about a spiritual harvest when it comes to the Lord and the lessons that we can take from Scripture. Some here from Ecclesiastes and also some from other places regarding how we behave ourselves. How we behave ourselves if we're Christians and how we behave ourselves if we're not. You see, so often we do exactly as the Americans do. We let circumstances paralyze us. We let the prevailing conditions stop us from doing the things that we know we need to do. We know we should be doing. Too often in our minds we think, oh, we shouldn't be doing this because of the law. But not often enough are we thinking, I should be doing. It was the two greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. Those are positives. Those are things we ought to be out doing. We ought to be standing forth. And if we stand and observe the wind, if we stand and worry about the clouds, it's going to paralyze us. If we're too worried about what is going on around us, it is going to stop us from carrying on our business. That's the lesson I've really learned here in Yorkshire. You get on with it. It doesn't matter how much rain is falling on your head. Get on with it. It doesn't matter how chilly it is. You get on with it. Well, we have to take that spirit, that mentality, into our Christian lives. We have to take that thought into who we are as a Christian. I'm not a farmer, but I believe that any farmer worth his soil will tell you that you keep on working until the rain starts falling. And then you keep on working until it just gets too muddy to continue. Doesn't matter how many gray clouds there are. If the wind is strong, then you bend down and put the seed in the soil. And not cast it forth, as we have the picture in the scriptures. You see, too often, for Christians, we're burdened by the negatives. We're burdened by society around us. By the way they say we should and shouldn't be talking. By the things we should and shouldn't be doing. And we let them dictate to us how we're going to behave. You say, oh, you shouldn't be out in the streets talking about Jesus. Oh, you shouldn't say it that it's so definitively that Jesus Christ is the only way. No, that's we ought to be following the Word of God. We ought to be doing what He says and not let the wind and not let the clouds that are around us affect us. So often we think, well, Jesus is coming soon, and we hope He is and we think He is because we see the signs around us. But you know, every generation of Christians from the time that Jesus rose up into the clouds thought He was coming in their generation because the clouds were thick, the wind was fierce, the trials were hard. And they thought, well, Jesus must be coming soon. Oh, I think it's getting closer. Obviously it is every day. But that doesn't mean we stop, does it? That doesn't mean we give in to the pressures around us. No, we keep going. We do what Peter and John did when they were before the council in Acts chapter 4. And the council tells them, you have to stop speaking about Jesus. You have to stop talking about Him. We can't have this. And they say, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. That ought to be the mindset of every one of us that calls ourselves a Christian. It doesn't matter where, it doesn't matter when, it doesn't matter what circumstances are around us. We do just what Peter and John said. I can't help it. It's going to come out of me. It's going to be part of who I am. Don't be paralyzed by the what ifs. There are so many things that could happen. Believe the doctrine that you've been taught. Is God sovereign? Is God in charge of the universe? Believe it. Trust it. And go out. You know, they may kill your body. They may harm you. But what can they not do? They can't touch your soul. Your soul is in the hand of God. Everlasting life is worth it. Serve the Lord. To the one who has not been born again, the world is telling you that there is no God. It's all around you. There's no God, or He is not relevant today. I can tell you He is the God of the universe, and He's relevant every day. This book is relevant every day. The world is telling you that evolution is the answer. I'm not sure what the question is, if that's the answer. What are we going to do? Are you going to bow down and worship evolution? Are you going to believe the winds and the clouds that they put forth? You see, I see all around me people that claim to be Christians, and they say, oh, I believe in theistic evolution. Well, the scriptures teach us there's some literal days there. And the order of creation tell us that there's no way it could have been any other way but literal days. The grass was created before the sun. How is it going to be any other way? Believe what God says about Himself. He's a just God, but a merciful God. He shows mercy through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, the Creator of all things. Don't pay attention to society and the world. Focus on what is true, Jesus Christ. Focus on what is true, God's Word. There are some other lessons we can learn as well. Work while you can. Again, as a farmer, not being a farmer, it's hard to learn this, but there are episodes of time that you can get the job done. And there are other times where it's just too late. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 1 and 2. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. In verse 6, in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. See, the weather should teach us that lesson. Take advantage of the time you have. We try and tell our kids this all the time. It's a beautiful day. Get outside. Enjoy it. You may not have it for a couple of weeks. Take advantage of that. And that's what the lesson here is as well. Sow in the morning, sow in the evening. Withhold not your hand because you don't know what will prosper. You have to work while it is day. One of the things that have confirmed this to me, most of you I think know that I get really bad headaches. And sometimes they're very debilitating. If I have an opportunity to get something done on a day where I don't have a headache or it's very minimal, I should take that opportunity and not wait for tomorrow when I had planned to do it, because tomorrow I may not have. Work while you can work. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. Jesus said in John 9, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. You see, I don't know if you've seen it yourself, but I've certainly seen it more in the U.S. because there's so much agricultural farming going on as opposed to sheep farming. But you ever see a farmer out in the field in his tractor at night with his lights on and he's trying to plow the field? Do you think that furrow is going to be as straight as if it would be during the daytime? He's trying to get the job done because he's run out of time for whatever reason. But you know it's not going to be as perfect as it would be if he could see clearly with daylight. There will be a time when no man can work in the fields. When darkness falls. It happens to us all. What we don't realize is we don't know the end from the beginning. We labor now. We don't know what God's going to do with it. We don't know the results, but we labor. We labor in faithfulness. You continue to sow the seed. Some may grow, some may not. Some may grow after your time. Seeds that you have planted, you may never see anything from. And yet, when you depart, they're growing. That is how God works. He uses His people to plant the seed. But the Almighty makes it to grow. He's the one that's doing the real work. It falls upon each one of us, doesn't it? It doesn't matter what ability you have. It doesn't matter. It's not being asked to stand in front of a group of people. Being asked to be a Christian. To work while there's daylight. To pray. To let the light shine out of you and through you. But for the one who has not had their burden of sin removed, don't labor for salvation. And don't work for it. There's no hope there. It is Jesus Christ and Him alone. You cannot earn something that you have already nullified the possibility. You've already put an X over your tick box and said, I can't make it because of your sin. There's no way you can undo your sin. The only thing you can hope for is forgiveness through the blood of Christ. And yet there's still time left today. There's still time left. There's still daylight for you to come to Christ. For to turn away from your sin and to trust Him. Do so before that night falls. One of the things that we have to keep in mind is that we should sow the seed even when we think we shouldn't. Even when we think, oh, that's hard ground. Even when we think, oh, the wind is going to blow it away. Sow the seed. Paul says this to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. You see, Paul has laid a charge on Timothy that no matter the season, keep sowing the seed. Whether you think it's the proper season or not. Whether you think you've got a willing audience or not, sow the seed. They're not going to endure it. They're not going to want to listen. You know, how many people have prayed that that what was said yesterday during that marriage ceremony will have an impact on people? But have you read any of the social media things about how the world views what was said yesterday? They think it was awful. They're not going to endure it. They're not going to listen. Does that mean we stop sowing the seed? Oh, it should make us sow the seed even more. keep sowing the seed. It's a charge that the Word of God lays upon every preacher. It's a charge that the Word of God lays upon every believer. Not to be eloquent, not to stand up in front of people, but to continue to share what Jesus Christ has done in your life. That He has saved you from your sin. And when you share that, it has an impact. It has an impact on those that are around you. It's a charge to speak at every opportunity the things of Christ. At every chance you have. Ecclesiastes 11:6, it's in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether thou shalt prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Well, who sows the seed? Well, the Lord uses His people to sow the seed, doesn't He? Through the working of His Spirit, we sow the seed. But who waters the seed? Well, He uses people most of the time unwittingly to water the seed. But it's His Spirit that's at work. Who causes it to grow? His Spirit. How much work do we have in it? To be faithful to sow, to be faithful to speak. Whenever the Lord opens a door for us to do so, it matters not if you're speaking about a living plant or the seed of the gospel. The same one causes both to grow. It's in His hands. So when you think about it as a Christian, what does Jesus call a Christian in Matthew 5? He says you're the salt of the earth. The salt of the earth. What does He also call a Christian? The light of the world. He says you're the light of the world. We always think of Jesus as the light of the world, right? But He says you're the light of the world. Why? Because we're Christians, meaning little Christs. Now, I'm not divine, but I'm a little Christ. I'm a little follower. I'm a little anointed one. I'm following after the anointed one. I've been anointed with the same thing He was anointed with, the Holy Spirit of God. To do what? The same works that He did. I'm not going to go around performing miracles, but I'm going to go around and speak the words of life. That's being salt. That's being light. That's pointing people to Jesus Christ. It is fulfilling the two greatest commandments. You do that. Love God. And love your neighbor as yourself. You're naturally salt. You're naturally light. And you're naturally going to point people to Jesus Christ. That's what's going to happen. The law of the harvest is an undeniable thing. It's an unbendable thing. Galatians chapter 6. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You plant corn, you get corn. You plant apples, you get apples. You plant to this life, you reap corruption. You plant in the Spirit, what do you reap? Life everlasting. What do we busy ourselves with? What are we constantly about? Are we constantly doing the other instead of the best? Plant to the next life. In Hosea, the Lord says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek Jehovah till He come and rain righteousness upon you. You think about this for a moment. We stand before God, if you're a Christian today, as Christ did. Because He stood before God as I did. That's something Spurgeon said. And He has given me His righteousness. The problem is, do I have it right now? No, I don't. I'm still a sinner. I still make mistakes. But I'm standing before God justified. One day, when I actually stand before Him, what will He do? He will rain the righteousness of Christ upon me. And I will be pure. I will be changed in an instant. I'll be like Him because I'll see Him as He is. He's saying, sow that now, you'll reap mercy. Sow righteousness now, you reap everlasting life. Why? You're not going to reap other things because that's what you're planting. You know, evolution keeps saying all sorts of things that this can come from that. The Bible doesn't speak that way. It's after its kind. You're never going to get an apple from a corn seed. You're never going to get corn from an apple seed. You're never going to get life when you sow to the flesh. You're never going to get corruption when you sow to the Spirit. Break up the parts of your life. Break up the fallow ground, the parts that you've reserved for yourself, and plant the fruit of the Spirit. Do you plant discord and strife? Or do you plant kindness, mercy, tenderness, the things of God? To the one who has not believed upon the only name given among men whereby we must be saved, Hosea also has a word. He says, "For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the strangers shall swallow it up." If you're trying to work your way into heaven, you're sowing to the wind. You're hoping that when you throw that seed out there, the wind's going to catch it and put it where you want it. But all you're going to get is the whirlwind. All you're going to get is destruction. And even if something comes from that seed, you're not going to get it. You're not going to receive the blessings of it. We see it all around, don't we? There are people out there doing what we view in our human nature as good works, good deeds. They're all around us. And boy, it's such a blessing to the person who receives that good deed. But when they're working and laboring for their own salvation, what do they receive? Absolutely nothing. Because in God's eyes, it's a filthy rag. It's nothing in God's eyes. The person who received it certainly received the benefit. It was a blessing unto them. I can't tell you how many times as a Christian I've been blessed by God through the good deed of someone else who was not a Christian. I received the blessing. I received the fruit of what they were sowing, but they received nothing from it. If you're not a Christian today, forget trying to work for it. Forget the labor. Turn to Jesus Christ. It's going to be swallowed up by others. It makes no difference for you. And then remember that today is the day of salvation. We read in our scripture reading, Isaiah 55, it says, "Seek ye Jehovah while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his thoughts, and let him return unto Jehovah. And he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Today, while it's day, turn to God. Seek the anchor for your soul. Run to the refuge. Turn away from your sin and yourself, and turn to Jesus Christ. There is no other way but his way. It's that same idea of working while you have the day. Well, run to Christ while you have the moment. Because you're not promised any other moment. You're not promised any other time. Don't say, "Well, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it after I have my fun." Run to Christ now. Not later. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." It's not tomorrow. It's now. Run to Jesus Christ now. Today, if you're a Christian, don't think, you know, "I was saved on such or such a day." When I was a young Christian, I heard people all the time in the church that I grew up in and in the university that I went to, and they would be able to point out a day when the Lord saved them. And they would always look back to that day. "Oh, that was the day. That was the day." No, this is the day. This is the day of salvation. Not yesterday, today. And then tomorrow, when it's today, today's the day of salvation. You trust Christ every day. Not just one day years ago, you trust Him now. And if you're trusting Him now, then today is the day of salvation for you. You're not saying you're crucifying Christ again, you're not coming to Him afresh, but you're carrying about in your body the death of Christ, so that you today are trusting Him, and today you're saved. And tomorrow will be the same. And the day after that will be the same. And every day after that will be the day of your salvation. And one day, whether you die or whether you see Him when He comes in the clouds, that will be your day of salvation. And every day after that will be the day of your salvation. It's a glorious thought, isn't it? It's a glorious thing to think about. Don't think about the past. Trust Him today. Trust Him now. The same can be said for the unbeliever. The one that is not born again. The one has not trusted the name of Jesus Christ. Don't be paralyzed by the thoughts of those things around you. What the schools teach you about who God is. Look to the Word of God. Look to the truth. Evolution can't save you. The things of this world can't do it. There's only one who can do it. Jesus Christ. The winds may be swirling around you. Plant your seed with Him. "Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved, For I am God and there is none else. None else. Ask him for forgiveness today. Remember, he that observeth the wind shall not sow. And he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Don't be concerned with the things going on around you. Look to Christ today. And when you look to him today, he's going to flow out of you today. And take every opportunity that he gives you. Oh, that would be said of us today. We point you to Jesus Christ. Amen.